What did God do with that power? Did he withdraw it? It's a mission accomplished, so let's withdraw that power. What did God do with that power? John 14. I'm going to read verse 9. God left that power here on earth. And the moment a life, a heart says, Jesus, you are my Lord, that power takes residence in that person's heart. And to experience that power work, we have to connect and then we have to draw. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in the Word does the works. So we connect to that power by finding his word that concerns that situation. And once you found the word, the promise of God that covers your situation, declare it. Because when you're confessing God's word, you're no longer speaking on your own authority. You're speaking on the authority of the God who backs that promise. And the God in that word is the one that will do the works. I read a testimony of Kenneth Copeland Ministry. A doctor, his wife was in her 8th month of pregnancy. They had to make a 2,100-mile move across Canada. No airplane would fly the woman at that point in her pregnancy. So they had to drive. They had to drive. So the pediatrician said, I need to take a scan so we can know when baby is expected. So baby doesn't come when you're driving 2,100 miles across Canada. So she went for her scan. She was so relaxed. She didn't know that the radiologist was in tears. So she opened her eyes and, what was wrong? She said, no, we need to get somebody more experienced. We need to use a more powerful, scanner to check baby. She was like, what's wrong? He said, no, I can't say anything yet. So she was moved to another a more powerful scanner. The doctor came. After the doctor looked at it, the doctor said, yes, baby has eyes, nose, and a head. The woman said, of course, every baby has that. But said, I can't discuss this with you. Your husband needs to be present. So cut a long story short, the husband came the following day. She could not go. She couldn't face what they might say was wrong with her baby. He's experienced in medicine, so when he saw the x-ray, he knew exactly what we were trying to tell him. His baby didn't have a brain. Where the brain was meant to be was empty. The doctor said, we have to abort. He replied, he said, I'm a Christian, I do not believe in abortion. The doctor said, I'm a Catholic too, and we don't believe in abortion. But the chances, he couldn't finish that sentence because it was one look in that man's face, he knew that he had to stop talking. He said, okay, maybe let us refer. The man stopped him. He said, listen, we know medical science cannot help my child. There's nothing medical science can do. But the God I serve has never failed me. He's never failed me yet. He went home. He could not tell his wife that baby doesn't have a brain. He just said, whatever they saw yesterday is very bad. He went upstairs, didn't know whether to cry, whether to call his mother and call anybody that listened to him. Look at how life is treating him. In the midst of all of that, God reminded him the most powerful, the most effective weapon that any believer has. So he started praising God. He started praising God. He started praising God. He started praising God. He kept praising God. He woke up the next morning. Because he realized he couldn't do this part-time. It had to be full-time. So he called work, he resigned so that he could face this full time. As he kept it, that's all he needed. So all day long, just praising God. God reminded him of a dream he had. In that dream, a mother brought a son to him that was schizophrenic and had a growth in the brain. And God said, tell the mother that you're going to lay your right hand on the boy and the power of God will flow from your hand into the boy and heal the boy. He did exactly as he was told, and exactly as he was told happened. So he ran to his wife. He said, darling, I'm going to lay my hands on you, on your abdomen. The power of God will flow from my hand into our baby and our baby will be healed. He did that and nothing happened. He didn't feel anything happen. So he was inspired to lay his left hand on her head. And as he did that, she felt on the power. And there and then he knew something had happened. His wife woke up, and in her own words, from that moment on, all she felt was peace that you cannot describe. A peace that you cannot describe. But he said, no, yeah, we still have a couple of more weeks to go. There's something I have to do that's tangible. He bought this, you know what an abacus is? What children used to count. He had 100 beads. He moves, no, he'll say, by the stripes of Jesus, my daughter is healed and made whole. Move the first one. He'll say it 100 times and move it. Take the abacus to his wife. Both of them will say the same thing. 400 times a day, he confessed, by the stripes of Jesus, my daughter is healed and made whole. I have to cut the story short. Eventually, they made their move. They got to where they were going across Canada. It was time for baby to be born. Baby came, and when he looked in the eyes of his baby, the eyes staring back at him was the eyes of a child that had a brain. Amen. When I read that testimony, the first thing that came to me is the power of God is real. It's real. It's alive. We just need to learn how to connect. And then draw. That man knew how to connect. Imagine. No brain. But God did it. Because he drew from that power. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we commit the remaining time into your hands. I thank you. I believe I receive your grace to deliver your word as accurately as you delivered it to me. Lord, I believe I receive grace on your people to hear your word accurately, because it's the entrance of your word that gives light and understanding to the simple heart. I give you all the praise, the joint combination of your light and understanding as your people hear your word today places them in a position of supremacy over wherever they might be in their lives. That at the end of this message, everybody would go from wherever level of glory they are to a higher level of glory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you very much, Brother Tola. God bless you. Amen. A round of applause for Brother Tola. He does an excellent job. Excellent job. The Bible says the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered. I'm sure you'd agree with me that since Brother Tola joined, he has been liberal. And he has brought harmony to our services. So God doesn't owe any man. God doesn't owe any man. Glory be to God. Just say with me, divine health. Divine health is mine. Hallelujah. You haven't lied. That's the truth. And I hope by the end of this message, you'll be more confident saying that divine health is mine. And just like the woman that ran to Gloria Copeland and said, ha, she was over 100 years old, always getting healed. She said, how am I going to die? Gloria said, when you're satisfied, you can go. Amen. We should not let the devil bully us out of this body with sickness. Or you can confess what. And pastor said what he said. My wife just, because she said the same thing as well. She's not going to die. She's going to be raptured. She's going to be raptured. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Let us go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And I'm going to read verse 1. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 verse 1 reads, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Divine health is not for, even though it's every believer's right, but it's not for everybody. It is for that person who has made a decision. I am going to believe God's report always. He says, who has believed that report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The person who has the arm of the Lord revealed to them is that person who has made a choice. I'm believing his report. End of story. I believe his report. Amen. So divine health is for the person who has made that decision. Oh yes, maybe you understand your body, you know what might be going wrong when you're feeling whatever you're feeling, but then that is a report. The question now is, are you going to believe that report, or are you going to believe God's report? So to experience divine health, to live in divine health, you have to, first of all, know what God has said and believe God's report. Only. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's find out what he has said. Verse 4. I love verse 4. Psalm 119, I believe it's verse 89, says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled. Now God's word is already settled. But verse 4, to give you double assurance, it starts by saying, surely. It could have been enough for the word to say he has. But to give you double assurance, he says, surely he will bear our griefs. Is that what your Bible says? Surely, after you have prayed and fasted for 2 days, surely after that prophet has visited town and laid hands on you. No, it says, surely he has. Oh, glory be to God. He has. So, if he has bore our griefs, where is our griefs? He took it. That question is, I don't care where it is. All I know is, he has bore it. He has, surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Griefs in the middle section of my Bible says sickness. Surely he has borne my sickness and carried my sorrows. The middle section of my Bible says the pain. You can live free of what they call painkillers. Even as I say that, I remember. but that is a work in progress. Especially when the tooth. As small as that thing is. How many of you have had toothache before? It rattles the whole body. But anyway, he has carried our pain. He's carried it. All right. To give you a Holy Ghost interpretation of Isaiah 53 verse 4, turn to Matthew 8 and verse 17. That is the Holy Ghost interpretation of what Isaiah received. And it's a little, I think it's more, it's clearer in Matthew. Yeah. Matthew 8 verse 17 says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. If he took it, you have no right to take it. He's taking it, so why take it? He's taking it. So why take it? And we'll come to that later. We'll come to that. Verse 5 of Isaiah 53 now says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we will be healed. No. By his stripes, we are going to be healed. No. By his stripes, we are healed. Your healing took place when they decided to lay stripes on him. That's when sickness and disease lost its right. That's when it lost. So, what you need to be thinking, what?
Yeah, now I'm mentioning now, because Pastor started this year going through strongholds, isn't it? Strongholds. You had. I think it's five teachings on strongholds. What needs to become a stronghold in you is you are not the sick trying to get healed.
No. That thought, you should never think like that again. You are the healed. You are the healed.
And the devil wants to take away your health because your healing took place when they decided to lay those stripes on Jesus. That is the moment you were healed. That's the moment you were healed.
So, if it means you type it and put it everywhere in your house where you can see it and say it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until it becomes a part of you. You are not the sick trying to be healed. You are the healed. And you need to protect that health. That is your duty. You protect that health. Yes, even if you have put something on your body. No. No.
We can't stand in judgment over other people. But then that man, month 8, my child doesn't have brain. But then he knew, like it was, he says, I know the God I've served that he has never failed me. And he said, it is one thing to say things that are that spiritual, but it's another thing to now back it with action. He has never failed me, and this time he's not going to fail me. His child was born with brain. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You are not the sick trying to be healed. You are the healed, and he's trying to make you sick.
You are the healed. You are the healed. Yes, your body is telling you other things. It's a shadow.
Amen.
You connect to God's word. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes. That is my evidence. That's my evidence. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. And you make up your mind.
This time tomorrow, that's where they're going to find me.
Next week, same place. Still confessing. By his stripes, I am healed. And you keep saying it and saying it and say, listen, for you confessing, Isaiah 53 verse, for it not to work, the devil will have to undo. He will have to. We will have to undo everything he did to Jesus. But is it possible? Can he not undo it? So the same way it's impossible for him to undo it is the same way it is impossible for Isaiah 53 verse 5 not to walk in your life if you've made up your mind, here's where I'm standing. This is where I'm standing. Amen. This is where they found you. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed and I've been made whole. Amen. Praise God.
Matthew 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. Now let's show you how to do it. Let's show you how Jesus instructs us to do it. I'm going to read verse 16 and then go backwards to verse 14. So if you've opened Matthew 13, I'll read verse 16 first, because verse 16 is, we need to hear what Jesus, now this is Jesus talking. Verse 16, Jesus says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, if you go back to verse 14, Jesus is still talking. He says, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of these people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But Jesus says, your eyes are blessed, they see. Your ears are blessed, they hear. The question is, how do you connect what your blessed eyes can see to what your blessed ears would hear? How do you make that connection? Anybody? How do you make that connection? Your eyes are blessed. They can see. Your ears are blessed. They can hear. How do you make the connection between what you see
to what you hear. Thank you. Okay. Say it. Confess it. Confess it. And we are not confessing so that we can let everybody know you're spiritual. You're going around confessing the word. You want to everybody to know. No. The goal is, Jesus said it here, lest they should understand. You are confessing God's word so that understanding can come. That's the goal. That's the goal. You're saying it over and over and over and over and over again to access understanding. And Jesus said, lest they understand with their hearts and turn. That's where you draw. You've connected by confessing. No, you found the word. You're confessing. That's your connection. Your the drawing is after the light has come on, the action you take them, that is you drawing and turn. So that I should heal them. That's it. Amen. Say it. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. You keep. At this point, let me ask. If Jesus should turn up in your bedroom or your living room tomorrow morning, and you tell him, there's this thing in my body I need healing for, what would Jesus do? What do you think Jesus would do? Let's find out. Sorry? He's in your living room and you need healing. And you just told him that there's something in your body. I need healing. What would Jesus do? Sleep. I love that. Sleep. There you go. That's you. Can he say anything more than is written? He can't say anything more. He'll tell you, by the stripes they laid on me, you are healed. Say, hello. I thought you were going to hear. He can't say more than that. So it is your duty to put that on your lips so that it's going through your eyes, it's coming out of your mouth, and it's going through your ears. In your eyes, out your mouth, in your ears. Until you know that you know that you know. The same way you know your name. You know, baby will be born with a brain. Say it until every, Gloria Coppola says, until the hair at the back of your neck stands up. You keep saying it until understanding comes and you turn. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. This is still Jesus talking. Showing us how to get it done. Amen. Let me see. Okay, let's start from Jesus' response to Simon Peter. Yeah. So Matthew 16 verse 17. Now, this is Jesus answering, because he has asked his disciples, who do men say that he is? They've answered him, but now he asked, who do you say I am? Then Peter speaks up, and now Jesus is responding to what Peter said. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Glaucopa says a lot. You need your own revelation. You need your own revelation of divine health. You can't survive on hearing. You can't survive on hearing what flesh and blood tells you, because what that flesh and blood is telling you is their own revelation from God. So the same way it became a revelation to that person, it can become your own revelation. It needs to be your own revelation. It has to. Because, and also, verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And that's the reason why we need to live on revelation. That is how growth comes. That's how growth comes. Yes, you feed on the word to feed your spirit. But your growth, Jesus promised, I'll build you as you receive revelation. And how do we get revelation? Same thing. The same thing just revealed in Matthew 13. In your eyes, out your mouth, in your ears. In your eyes, out your mouth, in your ears. The thing is, when you're meditating, what are you doing? Sometimes when you're meditating, you're repeating it. So you're still hearing it. When you're meditating, It's before you. Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You are still with the word in front of you. So with the word in front of you, you are looking unto it. And the word is, because it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's finishing your faith as you are looking on the word. Amen. I love this one. Still reading verse 18. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now that is very deep. It says the gates of hell shall not prevail. That gives an implication that the gates of hell is not sitting down there and doing nothing. They are doing something against the kingdom. But for it not to prevail, you need to live on revelation. You need to live on revelation. Because all of these, we can call these the blessings of the one who receives revelation from God. And then the last one, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. So you can lock or bind on earth, so it can be bound in heaven. You can loose on earth, so that it's loosed in heaven. But all of these come as a result of it being revealed. As it being revealed. And the key to revelation is, you remember Mary and Martha? Martha wanted to serve and do everything. But Mary just sat at his feet. And Jesus said, that's the most important one. It won't be taken from her. Just sit at the word. Sit at the word. Sit at the word. What's it called? Whenever Kenneth Copeland needs to hear from God, he cancels everything and takes 3 days off. Just 3 days off. Him, his Bible, him and the word. Him and the word. We need. I mean, that's the gateway. There's no other. I wish there was another way. Then we can just tell you, or some ministers. No. Some believers wish that they can be hands can be laid on them so that that revelation can be transferred to them. No, it doesn't happen that way. It's you and the word. You and the word. Proverbs 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Because you are with me. It has to be your personal revelation. And for it to become your personal revelation, you need to give God's word its due place in your life. You have to. I have overemphasized it. Because what you get in return is what Jesus said. On this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. That becomes yours as God's word becomes revelation to you. So rounding up, let's turn to First Peter and chapter 5. Brother Tola, can you? Yes, please. First Peter chapter 5. Let's round this up. First Peter chapter 5. There you are. First Peter chapter 5. I want to read verse 10. It says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Because that is amazing. You see, when you're confessing God's word, it doesn't seem as anything is happening. But Romans says, now faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Yeah. Physically, nothing is happening. It can be annoying. That's the suffering. Something about talking about. But something is taking place in your spirit. So just because you are not seeing anything physically happening, don't stop. Do not stop. Keep at it. Because it says, after you have suffered a while, himself will perfect you, he will establish you, he will strengthen you, and he will settle you. At the other end of every word of God you are standing on is perfection, establishing, strengthening, and settling. So just because in the physical, it seems as if you're just talking, you're wasting time. Don't let him fool you. Don't let that derail you. Stay there. Because at the upper end is your perfection, is your establishing, is your strengthening, and your settling in divine health. You get to the point where, and this is so lovely, the Copeland duo, because Gloria Copeland lives in divine health, so she doesn't, her body sickness has given up trying on her body. She lives in divine health. Kenneth Copeland, once in a while, symptoms come and he fights it. And today, 83 or 84, and still strong. And flying a jet, fastest jet in the world. He's the pilot of that jet at 83 or 84. Huh? Amen. Glory be to God. If you would, if you stay strong, at the end of it, is your perfection, your establishing, your strengthening, and your settling. Amen. Settled in divine health. Settled in divine health. You've spent so much time with God's word that it's no longer something you don't even think about it. I mean, just the plant is, he says, if he feels anything in his body that's not supposed to be, say, Jesus, come. Take off your shirt, turn your back. The symptom leaves his body. Because to him, that is his evidence that whatever his body is feeling has no right. They came to him once, just to plant his. They came to him and said, you're a man of such great faith. How did you develop such great faith? His answer was, you don't need great faith to believe in one person who cannot fail. You don't need great faith. He cannot. He can't fail. God cannot fail you. You don't require great faith for this. You just need staying power. Staying power. Yes, so this is where they're going to find me. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And I'm going to close with this. Isaiah 53 was a prophecy. That was a prophecy. If the devil knew, you would have just said, leave that one. Leave him alone. That was a prophecy. And then we find out, it's 1 Peter 2:24. By whose stripes we were. That's the tenses you need to use with you. So if I was healed, then how can I be sick? I'm healed. And then you get to that point where you are perfected in it. You now start to minister it everywhere you go. Let people know. Even let unbelievers know. Let them know there's healing for you in the name Jesus. it's not just for us believers. Huh? Would you let me pray for you? Amen. And then you become a minister of that divine health. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. That's one thing that the devil should have lost the battle with the body of Christ. Those ones, you want to go and try, go and try. You can't catch them with that anymore. Because we know that our evidence of divine health is the fact that by his stripes, we are healed. Amen. Have I blessed you this morning? Stand to your feet and give God praise. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise, oh God. Hallelujah, we give you praise. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We say thank you. We say thank you. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. We are healed. We are now your beacons of health.
your beacons of divine health. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give God praise. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'd like to make a, I can't call it altar call, but if all eyes can be closed, it's not an altar call, don't worry. Pastor, you can keep your eye open because you might need to see those who respond to this. If that is you, and you say, yes, so I've had enough now, and it's time for me to walk and live in divine health, just raise your hand so I can quickly see it. If that's you saying, okay, yes, I can see that hand, thank you, you can put it down now, I can see that hand. You're saying, it's now time, divine health. Acts 20, verse 32 says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So to everyone who raised their hand up, I leave you with this. I commend you to God and to his word concerning divine health. His word of grace concerning divine health, which is able to build you up in divine health and give you your inheritance of divine health. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We thank you for your word. We receive your word. We act on your word. And we thank you. We believe you receive the blessing of standing on your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. It's in the name of Jesus we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
I just remain standing as we close this service. We're going to sing again at the center of it all. The important thing I want to say there is that, you know, like Pastor said, he said, you don't need great faith. We told you before that you need great faith, but you don't need great faith because your faith will not start as great anyway. You're going to start as a seed. What you need is your staying power. Stay there, pay attention. And you know, sometimes, you know, if I must say it, you know, I don't want, you know, no one should get deceived. You can come to church, but if you are not paying attention to the word, you will not grow. You know, and that's why it bothers me, for example, with the service, and then people have walked off, you know, I don't know where they go. I expect more people here today. I don't know where people are. You have to stay. That's the difference between Mary and Martha. You stay there and give attention to the word. And that's part of your staying power. You must give attention. As you give attention, you will hear. Amen? There are people that see, but they can't see. Because they're not paying attention. Does that make sense? They hear, but they can't hear because what? They're not paying attention. They are doing matter. But what Jesus says, one thing is needful. And that's to give me attention. Hallelujah. That's what he wants most in your life. Your attention. Then you can grow. You can be transformed. So the song says, at the center of it all is you and I see. Whether in good times or in bad times, whatever challenge, continue to see. Once you can keep your eyes on him, it will come true for you. Hallelujah. You will not go empty handed. You just stay there. He said, if even after you have suffered, you may feel like you are suffering. But say, after you suffered a while, it will strengthen you. It will settle you. It will perfect you. Let's sing that song as a song of faith to Jesus. That at the center of it all, I keep my focus on you. Amen.
At the center of it all, at the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. At the center of it all,
Jesus.
It's you that I see.
Jesus.
It's you that I see.
is power.
There is power in your name.
As I lift my voice in praise,
as I lift my voice in praise, it's you that I see
in my life.
It's you that I see.
We sing it again. At the center of it all, Jesus.
At the center of it all,
Jesus.
It's you that I see.
I look to you, Jesus.
I
keep my eyes focused on you. I keep my attention, Lord Jesus.
At the center of all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
Yes, Lord, there is power.
There is power.
I believe in
my life.